This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. Arkansas State University will start an esports team to compete competitively starting in the fall semester. Arkansas State University is requesting membership this fall in the National Association of Collegiate Esports, and will be the second Sun Belt Conference member to be allied with the organization. Georgia State is the other Sun Belt member. Telling us more is Vice Chancellor for Enrollment Management, Dr. Brian Terry, Title IX Coordinator, Stephanie Lott, and Executive Director of Student Health and Wellness, Matt Huckabee. I asked Terry how this process started.
Well, when I first got on campus, Dr. Danfus introduced the whole concept of esports and how badly he wanted to have an esports program on campus. And at first I was a little skeptical because, you know, Kelly likes to play a lot of video games too, so I thought maybe he really wanted to do esports. But then it really became something that a lot of the students started coming up and saying, we really want this. And so we, between Stephanie and Matt and really a big group of folks, we started working with our friends over at Jonesboro High School, who introduced a high school version of esports. And I believe over there they said when they sent out the email, they got something like 500 responses. Well, when I heard that, it was like, oh, we better get serious about this esports thing. And so the Office of Admissions here did some research and put together a proposal and a program. And from there, that point, it just took off. One of the things I think was really neat is we weren't sure we were going to get that kind of response. And when we sent out our introductory, we're going to do esports for next year, I think with like in a minute, we had something like 28 responses. So, I mean, it's really blew up on campus. And we had, that was something that hadn't even gone off campus yet. That was just on campus.
Why esports?
You know, it's a good question because, candidly, I don't understand it. And I'll be honest with you, Stephanie has been working with me to try to make this clearer for me. I'm much more of the, I understand a guard and a power forward and a center when it comes to basketball, and I'm understanding what a linebacker does and what I understand what a defensive back does. But I'm not sure how they play positions in esports, and so Stephanie's probably going to be better off answering that question, but I can tell you from our perspective, students want it. And when students want something on this campus, that's when we react. And so that's what we're trying to do. It's something that students want. It's really kind of the hot thing that's out there. Now that we're involved in it, it seems like every other story I see about higher ed coming out, it's about esports or what somebody's doing for esports and how much money you can make turning pro as esports, or there's different camps that you can go to get better at esports. It's just one of those things that I think is going to be something that's already blowing up, but we're kind of at the beginning of it so that we can really get to see the blow up, what happens when it comes down the road.
So Stephanie, let me ask you some questions specifically. If you were to define what esports is for people who may have heard the term but don't know exactly what it is, can you please tell us about what esports is?
Yeah, so esports to me is a community of people who like to play video games competitively. It truly is its own niche, its own community of folks. And they hop online, whether it's a PC, a console, a Nintendo Switch, and they play other people across the globe competitively.
Right. Now, I may like to pick up the occasional video game every once in a while. I know that the kind of games, now I'm going really old school. You're talking Pac-Man and all that stuff, you know, and that. But I mean, these obviously are much more advanced games. What are some of the kinds and types of games that are involved in esports competition, if you don't mind, please?
So you can get first-person shooter games, you know, your average Call of Duty, Halo-type games. You can get your Battle Royale games. You look at Fortnite. You look at Apex Legends, which is new, that just came out. Then you have your games like League of Legends or World of Warcraft. You have Hearthstone. You have Rocket League. Rocket League is like, I comically define it as like soccer with race cars. And so you have just a lot of different types that kind of suits everybody's need. You even have Mortal Kombat. You have Super Smash Brothers, which you can tail back to some older games a little bit. But you just have a variety that's out there for just anybody, just the same way you would any other sport, whether it's NFL or NBA.
And so Dr. Terry was saying that there's a, you know, obviously, you know, this is something that people can make a lot of money out of and that. But kind of tell us about how Arkansas State University could participate in something like this on a competitive level, if you know what I'm trying to say. How does that work by way of saying, okay, we're going to graduate from just, you know, playing a regular game at home to now we're forming a league and we're actually doing it at the next level, if you don't mind, please.
There are a lot of colleges right now that that play competitively. The way they do it is they join national organizations. You have NACE, for example, or NAC Esports. It's the National Association of Collegiate Esports. You have organizations like TESPA, right? Very similar to NACE and what it does. But you join a national organization of some kind. You have that backing there where they have hosted a bunch of colleges who agree to compete with other teams across the nation. So we're hoping to join one of those organizations, and then we can compete that way with other schools who are under the same rules. There's guidelines, there's more structure to it, which makes it a little bit steadier for us. And then you can also compete online. You know, one of the cool things about video games is you don't always have to travel like you do in other sports. So our students can play from a state, and we can live stream it on platforms like Twitch, which really gives us a broader audience too, which is really neat.
Yeah, and let's talk to Matt Huckabee about this. So as you kind of think about trying to put together, an esports team like this, it's a little different than if you're going to put together a football team and that, I guess, maybe some similarities, mm-hmm. maybe some challenges, you know, differences there. Kind of tell us a little bit about that. How do you start looking at esports and start even kind of putting a club together for something like this?
Yeah, you know, thankfully, we've got some models, club models specifically, that have started from, you know, next to nothing and flourished, you know, and done really well over the years. You know, rugby, softball, you know, our cheer and dance squad, you know, they're all have really turned into pretty sophisticated, full-fledged teams, you know, supported teams. You know, I think we're really looking at two aspects of this, where esports is unique from other club sports or teams. On one end, we want to have an elite team to represent the university and play extramurally against other universities. But on the other end, I think we have a lot of other students that might not want to maybe compete to that degree, but they enjoy getting together and playing, you know, tournaments. And so we have this accessibility challenge to, A, have that elite team, form it, identify those players, fund it, resource it, figure out who we're playing, what games we're going to be playing in. And I think what goes into that, like we've done with anything else, is, you know, what's at our resource? What are our students playing? What are they good at? You know, let's be resourceful in how that defines and shapes that elite team. And then we've got the broader challenge of how can we make some simple esports or these games accessible to the rest of the university population that would be interested in it. Because, you know, I mean, I look around, you know, Netflix is pretty popular, but then, you know, after that, probably one of the more popular things students do is game now. And that's probably not a trend that's going to slow down. That'll probably become more and more pronounced, and it has been. So,
and besides trying to, you know, do that, I mean, what have you all been doing by way of? I know that Dr. Terry talked about that when this announcement came out, mm-hmm. there was just an initial explosion of interest sure. in that. So, how do you start forming a team, or how do you start doing something like that? You know, to take from the initial responses and say, okay, we're going to start putting a team together for competitive esports.
Well, first, you develop interest, and you know, to say right where we want to be 10 years from now, it's almost overwhelming, but it's kind of the you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Right.
And so I think what you do is first identify your stakeholders, and thankfully we've got Stephanie here that knows what she's doing, ASU employee already, and a gamer by trade, a very competitive one. And, you know, it starts with some leadership there. And then we start identifying some students that are very strong in those areas that know other students. And, you know, we have to get the stakeholders, and then from the very beginning start getting the culture right. And the culture we want to form and grow along with this team is, one, you know, we want to beat the heck out of everybody, but two, we want the correct culture moving forward. We want it accessible. We want our students to treat each other and other universities with respect, and we want to win the right way. And those are important things to kind of nail down at first. And the more leadership we have and the more students come, it'll start taking shape. But those are kind of the crucial ingredients initially that we have to identify and allow to kind of form this thing moving forward.
Dr. Terry, going back to you, there's a committee that's been involved in this. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about the committee? And are there students on the committee that has been that you've been working with?
Absolutely. So we've been, not only have we had a committee that has both myself as the kind of the executive sponsor, but Stephanie and Matt, Dr. Martha Spack, who's the Dean of Students, is on it. We had a few people from Jonesboro, I think I mentioned Jonesboro High School, mm-hmm. who came over, and they've been kind of external consultants on this. We're actually working with NYIT. They want to do the kind of the medical side of this. We've got, off the top of my head, his name's
Dr. Joshi.
He's working with us to kind of help us, because NYIT has a competitive program as well. So, and then of course there's the technical people and the finance people. Dr. Lynn Fry has been very, very supportive in terms of funding this project, and Henry
Torres
from our IT department. I almost called him Henry IT.
Maybe he's Mr. IT. Yeah.
Henry IT Torres he's been very, very helpful in saying, tell us what you need, because this is, I'm with you. You mentioned Pac-Man, and I was a pretty mean Mrs. Pac-Man player, but mm-hmm. I certainly wasn't competitive. But to build on something that Matt said earlier, you know, one of the things that we're happy about is, A, we do have students on there, and one of the students we have is ranked in the top 100 in the country in one of these sports. We wouldn't have known that had this not come out. So they're actually already doing this. So, you know, the kids are already playing competitively, already some of them are even thinking about trying to go pro already. And so for us to get in kind of where we are, it's to kind of cultivate that a little bit more, to say, hey, now you have a place that you can, you know, learn from other people. I suppose, and again, I'm just guessing, it's kind of like the level that you play with. If I'm playing basketball in intramurals, but I'm in a lower intramural league, I may think I'm the best. But as soon as I step up to that next level, mm-hmm. now all of a sudden I'm playing with people who do nothing but play this, and it helps me get better. It helps me hone my skills. And I think that's what's happening. And so by starting a program like this, we're able to say, hey, you're going to be playing against, and we have, I think, two of the top 100 people, if I'm not sure, two different sports, but two of the top 100 people. Mm-hmm. Now if I'm just sitting at home and I'm playing and I'm beating all my friends, well, now come and really test yourself here at Arkansas State and play against some people who have really played across the country, not just across the country domestically, but internationally.
And would this be, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just was thinking about that concept about, you know, we have a sense of community in the traditional sense, and then we've seen it online community kind of form, and now we're seeing, as we move forward, we're seeing those two merge, you know, yes. where we're taking online community and putting them all in one spot. So we actually have that community. And that's what appeals to me. Now, if you told me the students are just going to get online, never see each other, never interact other than playing, you know, that's something. But to me, that just gives us an opportunity to enhance our campus community even further.
I think we saw it when the groups got together. We had Stephanie threw our second meeting of all of the folks that want to play with us or play on the team or either play in some form or fashion. And we've learned so much from it. One of the students that stood up talked about what I'm going to refer to as commentating. You know, he wanted to be a commentator. And, you know, that's another one of those markets that when you talk about honing your skills, if you can come in here and be an ace, be an A-state commentator for esports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
who knows what that can lead to? You know, you may turn national, and next thing you know, we come national and something like that. Because yeah. you do have to practice those kind of things. You can't just commentate to yourself. You have to commentate and make sure that everybody else is listening to you.
But it gives that person a fit to interact
and that's
in that
fit.
Community.
Yes,
so that's cool. You know, that's
yeah, that's fantastic. Stephanie, one thing I was going to ask you, you were talking about the different kinds of games that are in competitive esports. Mm-hmm. Has it been selected which kinds of games will be used at Arkansas State? And will the games, well, I'll ask you this in two parts, I'm sorry. Do you know which games first? And then second, will there be additional games added later, or will they change, if you know what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah, I'm with you. So, yes and no. We do have a pretty good idea of what those games are going to be. To narrow it down exactly, we have to do some tryouts first. And so within the next month, we'll know that exactly. But right now, I think those games are probably going to be Overwatch, League of Legends. We have some really awesome, stellar Fortnite players. And so I'm hoping that we launch with a couple of Fortnite teams. And then you talk about other games. Apex Legends, I mentioned earlier, is becoming increasingly more popular, and I'm hoping that we can launch with a team of that as well. I'm thinking about 3 to 5 teams is probably what we're launching with to begin with. The room to expand is always there. That's what we hope for, right? That we have generated enough interest and enough competitive nature in our students who are already playing these games that they want to play more, and that we have enough to make it competitive and we can create more teams that exist. One of the benefits of some of the national organizations we're trying to join, like NACE that I mentioned earlier, is that each year colleges will recommit how many players they have and which games they want to play. So it is always subject to change. As Apex becomes more popular, I think you're going to see people shift into that. Fortnite is obviously the world qualifiers are going on right now. World Cup's coming up, so you have a lot of interest around stuff like that. As those games become more popular, you're going to see that. And I think us branching out into those is going to be very likely. NBA 2K is probably another one off the top of my head that I can think of.
Right.
Jonathan, I thought, again, I've just been fascinated by what I've learned about these things. And again, Matt and Stephanie already knew all this stuff, but as we were talking to the students, they were saying they were asking us questions like, well, are we talking about PC games or console games? And that was right after my introduction, and I went, I don't know, Stephanie? So apparently there are different, esports is a lot of different things, like I talked about commentating, but there's console games which have one set of games, and then there's PC games which has a whole different set of games. And so Stephanie's kind of working out. I think the idea right now is we're focusing on PC games, but I would bet this time next year we're talking about console games. And the only thing I learned in that meeting was console games are things like the soccer, FIFA?
Yeah.
Was I right?
Yeah.
I got one.
Yeah,
you're good. FIFA, I think, is a console game versus like Fortnite, which is a PC game or something like that. But it's sure. Very, very interesting stuff.
Wow.
It'll change a lot, too, because games are becoming increasingly more cross-platform. And so I can play Fortnite, for instance, on my PS4, and then you can play it on your PC, and we can play together against other players who are playing on different platforms. And so as you see that becoming more popular, you're going to be able to merge whatever somebody's comfortable with, which allows us to create a unique identity for some of our students. You know, if I prefer to be a console player on controller, which I think is more difficult competitively in a game like Fortnite, for instance, than a PC, let them do that. It puts them on a higher skill. And so we're going to be looking at stuff like that on cross-platform as well.
Matt, how many students do you think would be involved in a team for this?
You know, I'd say 15 to 30 for an elite club team. You know, you got to think, different games have a different numerical makeup of players, mm-hmm. so to speak. So you'd want to cover 3 or 4 different games and have enough players and enough subs. I mean, you need a bench if somebody gets the flu or breaks a finger, I suppose, and I say that tongue in cheek, but
right.
You know, somebody's got other commitments, obviously, then you've got to have somebody to bring up from a pool of players. So that's kind of what I envision for the kind of elite club team that represents ASU. Now, intramurally, you know, groups of students that can play together, they can already play together online and meet up, and I'm sure they do, but to make that portion of it more ASU, you know, and going to a higher degree, man, we're talking hundreds at that point could participate.
Wow. Wow. One thing, Stephanie, I wanted to ask you, you said NACE, is that right?
Yeah.
The national organization. This is what we would be competing under. Is that right?
Yes, that's what we're hoping to compete under.
Okay. And with that, when could Arkansas State start competition?
So what we're looking at is declaring our intent to join NACE. I believe we have a deadline of June 1. We're hoping to get that in this week, actually, and solidify that. That will tell them what teams we intend to launch with, which games we intend to play in, and then that'll set us up for a postseason. So you're looking at potentially some competitions as early as the fall semester, with us doing some practice and some, obviously, scrims and things like that over the summer, getting our space set up for those students.
And so when you're talking about this national organization, how many, and if you said this already, please forgive for having you repeat, how many different universities would all be involved in this? So if Arkansas State plays, we understand that we're kind of in the Sun Belt for a regular, you know, conference. Yeah. So are we in a certain conference, if you know what I'm trying to ask, in that regard?
Club's a little different.
It's a little different than that, for especially for esports. Like, you've got some regional competitions and things where you're not going to see all the schools. But I think NACE has somewhere of 150 schools, I want to say, that are part of their organization. So you have a wide variety. And even there are smaller leagues that are not under NACE, which our school can join, and they can play competitively too. And that's just kind of game specific. But there's a lot of ways that our students can get their names out there, that can compete and showcase the skills that they've had and they've been honing for years, right, as gamers in high school. And so we're hoping to get them out there as many ways as possible.
This is exciting, but Dr. Terry, there are also, have there been concerns that you've had? I know, first of all, I know you've been trying to educate yourself on this. But besides that, are there any other concerns and things that you've been trying to address on this in that regard?
Well, yeah. Our first was, when this thing first came out, is could we do it? So, there are certain minimum criteria that we have, and again, I want to give credit to Henry IT Torres, who's gone through those. So we had to have certain, NACE tells you have to have a certain area for them to play. You have to have certain gaming, minimum PC levels. You have to have great internet. You've got to have all those things. So those were all things that we got very concerned about when we got excited to say, can we do this? And it's a new program, so we're going to have the whoops, we didn't think about that kind of moments, and we're trying to prepare for that as much as we can. But it really has been, so far, a very smooth process. Dr. Yoshi and I, different times, we're going up to New York to look at the NYIT setup, to look at how they set up and talk to them about how some of the those things that we have to worry about. One of the things that Dr. Yoshi and Matt talks about from a student health perspective is, it's a new sport, so, it comes with its new problems. We're going to have students that probably do this, they have to practice. So, you have to practice, 5 hours a day? Many of them practice like 5 hours a day. I need them going to classes too.
Sure, right.
So they're going to have to go to class, and, so this is going to be them being athletes, or treating them just like athletes. They're going to have to practice. They're going to have to be at practices at certain times. They're going to have to put in the work. So what does that do to the psyche of a student? How social can they be? Now, they're very social when it comes to being online. I've seen them have full conversations, really fast, and, moving their things and talking. So we're not worried about that, but there are some psychological effects, and that's what Dr. Yoshi is there to kind of help us with.
And we're actually going to have an interview with him tomorrow about this, about some of those things. So kind of doing the two on that.
Great.
So I appreciate you all coming in. Thank you so much for this. You said that where would they compete at? You said there was a place that that they would have to compete in. Where would for the competition? Where would that place be?
Well, we have one of the that we're considering is the intramural section is going to be a lot of the rooms on the top of the Centennial Hall. So on the top, third floor of Centennial Hall. Mm-hmm. That's going to be where the intramural space is. That's why we can house like up to 100 folks. Mm-hmm. But we're going to dedicate that space to them. The other is a place called
Red Wolf Den.
Wolf Den Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit off campus, but it's kind of already not off campus. It's on campus. It's just far. It's not in the center of campus.
Right.
It's a wonderful dedicated spot.
But it's a wonderful dedicated spot. The students will have swipe card access. This will be for the club team. Swipe card access so they can practice anytime. It'd be open 24/7 to them. As Stephanie likes to point out, it's already got a bathroom and a kitchen, so they're fine. So they may never have to leave.
It looks like it was designed for that purpose. I mean, now that you kind of rethink it and you clear it out and you put some stations in there, I couldn't conceive a better spot. Those are some of those resources and stakeholders like Dr. Yoshi and all these things kind of coming together, especially when we throw out, what we're doing. It's the right people are stepping up and the right things are happening at this point, at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. You excited about this, Matt?
I am. I am. It's challenging, but yeah, I am.
Very good. Yeah. I know you are.
Yeah. Oh, immensely. I really believe that this is one of those things. And it's just good when you can, again, like I said, it started with the students. When you start with the students and you see that kind of positive feedback, and then it really creeps out into the community. Jonesboro High School has been wonderful helping us get, you know, with things that happen. We believe that we're going to have a, you know, kind of an easy transition for those Jonesboro stars to come right here and be stars here at Arkansas State.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about. How does it help with recruiting?
Yeah, it certainly will help in that sense. But, you know, and I think if you ask Terry Mahajer, he'll tell you the same thing. What's going to help is winning, you know. And so mm-hmm. the fact is that as Coach Stephanie, as we call her, starts to hone that talent, you know, we start going to the national championship, because that's, you know, I'm thinking year one, we're going national championship. You know, we want to be that team that's the Cinderella squad. That
sure.
comes out of nowhere and wins.
So, Stephanie, you're a gamer.
I am. I'm an avid gamer.
So, when you heard about this, how excited were you about learning that esports could come to Arkansas State?
I've got several emails from Stephanie.
if you want to just check from day one, if you want to see it.
No, I'm stoked. You know, that's something I do on the side as a hobby. And anytime you get to mix your hobbies and your work, you know, what else could you want?
Very good. Fantastic. Thank you all so much. Before I let you run, anything else that you all would like to add about this? I think it's been a fantastic interview, but anything else you would like to add?
I just want to thank these two for, because, you know, it's easy being an executive sponsor when you have folks like Matt who's going to knock down all the walls and say, this is the best way to do it. He was the one who came out of nowhere and suggested the intramural pieces, mm-hmm. Talked about the fact that we could build this up from the rugby, from using the rugby concept, if you will.
Club sport model.
Sure, yeah.
And Stephanie, I mean, I wasn't kidding. I mean, from the moment she found out that this was a possibility here, she was all over this. Like I said, I've had very little to do other than to say yes and fill out paperwork, and it's been great. And so everybody who's been around it, Dr. Fry, Henry Torres, Dr. Speck, everybody has been very supportive with this, and this is really going to make us look good.
Vice Chancellor for Enrollment Management, Dr. Brian Terry, Title IX Coordinator Stephanie Lott, and Executive Director of Student Health and Wellness, Matt Huckabee, telling us about esports coming to Arkansas State University in the fall. You're listening to A-State Connections on KASU.